Hey, everybody, and welcome to the You Belong podcast. I'm your host, Aaron Argo, and I'm so glad that you've joined us today because I want you to know that you belong here. No matter what your past or what you've been through, God brought you here for a reason, and we believe that He has a plan and a purpose for your life. Now, let's jump straight into the message, and I pray that God both inspires and encourages you through this word today.
Verses 7 through 9. While you are turning there, I know I just talked about lights and all that kind of stuff. If you notice, we have some stage lights up here that aren't working, and we are in the process of changing those out. And we want to make sure that you know we're going to be renovating some of this here pretty soon and getting it changed out so that we have some better lighting on stage, so that we can have some better lighting online, because it's very dark online. And we want to do things with excellence, amen? And that means that we're going to have to spend some money on this kind of stuff. So I want to encourage you, in the day's future, I'm going to be talking about that. Keep in mind that you can sow a seed into this, because what you sow seed into will come back to you, amen? Anyway, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that. I've talked enough about it. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 9. It says this: even though I have received such wonderful revelations from God, so to keep me from becoming proud, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger from Satan, to torment me and keep me from becoming proud. And y'all ever felt that way? Like something or someone was sent specifically to just be a thorn in your... Don't look at your wife. Don't look at your husband. Okay? Don't look at your kids. Don't look at your pastor. But there are times where we feel like somebody has been put in our life, or something has been put in our life specifically to just keep us in a position where we rely on God just a little bit more. In verse 8, it says three different times. This was a painful thing for Paul. Paul wrote this to the Corinthians because he was sharing with them about the situation that he was in. And he said, three different times, I begged the Lord to take it away. Each time he said, my grace is all you need. Come on, somebody say, your grace, God, is what I need. Your grace is all we need this morning, God. It says, my power, and then he tells him, my power works best in weakness. So now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. Let me pray for you. Father God, let my words be few, let your words be powerful, and let it be your voice that people hear, not mine. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Today's message is not one of those that you're going to walk away going, man, I am so encouraged. And everybody's like, but that's what we come to church for. No, it's not. You come to church so that God can teach us how to live a life in his will. Right? Now, we do need to be encouraged from time to time. How many of you need encouragement? How many of you need somebody to pat you on the back every now and then? How many of you need somebody to say, good job? Or we need that every now and then. But today, I'm talking to you about the weight of no. And when I say the weight of no, I'm talking about the heaviness of the word no. Because how many of you, God has ever told you no? How many of you did not like it when God told you no? There's been plenty of times I wanted something or I wanted to do something and God said no. And that no fell on top of me. Listen, when I was growing up, see, I love the word yes. I love to hear the word yes. When I asked Amy out for our first date, I was so glad I heard yes because I was scared to death. I remember my knees shaking while we were standing at the gas station. Yes, I asked her out at a gas station, okay? We were standing at the gas station. I was getting ready to go home. I had gone down to visit her and her family in Dothan, Alabama, and I had driven down there, and I remember she was wearing a pink silk shirt and blue jeans, and she was driving her little truck, wasn't a Mazda truck. Yes, my wife drives a truck, y'all. Or she did. But I remember all this, and I remember hearing that yes, and I was like, whew. I remember the night that we got engaged. I remember being so nervous. I cooked a meal for her that was fit for kings. Or just chicken fettuccine Alfredo. And I cooked this meal for her. I got Olive Garden salad because she really loved Olive Garden salad. I cooked a cake and dropped it on the floor and picked it back up and all this stuff. And I was so nervous. And I remember kneeling down to ask her to marry me. And I remember putting that ring on that finger. And all of a sudden she goes, "If that's what I think it is, it's the wrong finger." I had tried to put it on her middle finger. And she said, "But I say yes." I love the word yes. When I answer yes, it makes me feel good inside because it puts a smile on my face or on someone else's face, especially my family. I remember going to get Shelby's car, her car that she's driving right now. She had been been driving this old Chevy Cobalt. Y'all remember those? Chevy Cobalt that was just, let's just say it was not in pristine condition. Okay, no comments from the peanut gallery over here. But it was not in great condition. The transmission blew up on it, and it just didn't work anymore, so we had to buy her a new car. We go to get her a car, and she's driving a Nissan Sentra now. And we went to go buy the car, and I remember looking at it, it was the right mileage, it was the right price, it was right everything. And I ended up saying, "Okay, let's do the deal," to the guy. And Shelby had walked out, I think, because she was so nervous. And I walked outside, and she said, "Are we getting it?" And I went, "Yes, baby, we're getting it." She went, "Yes?" And I remember her tears starting to fall down her eyes. I'm going, "My gosh, baby, shut up." But yes has an emotional reaction to us sometimes. We hear that word yes and we get excited or we get happy or we have these tears of happiness coming. I remember that there was a movie years ago called Yes Day about some parents that they told their kids, "For one day, we're going to say yes to everything you ask within reason." And they gave them a couple of things. If you haven't seen that movie, it's a good, clean, Christian movie. It's a good movie. Go and watch it. It's called Yes Day, an amazing movie. I like to hear that word yes from others. Just something about hearing people agree or accept something that seems good and right. So like when I come home and I ask the kids, "Did you clean your room?" "Yes, Father." I love hearing yes. "Did you take out the trash?" "Yes." "Are you enjoying yourself?" When we go to an event or something like that, "Are you enjoying yourself?" "Yes, I'm having a blast." I love to hear that kind of thing. Is there, I like to ask the question, "Is there any more of Maddie's banana pudding?" And I love to hear the word yes, but I don't hear it very often. I'm trying to plant that in her subconscious so every time she walks in, no, I'm kidding, Miss Maddie, I love you. But hearing the word no is totally different. Hearing the word no is different. There's a weight that comes with that word no. It's almost like the world stops when you hear it, especially from people that you love or about something important. I hate telling people no, and I hate hearing the word no. It's something that really pains me. People come and they ask for help, and sometimes I have to tell them no. There's a disappointment and a discouragement that comes from hearing it. As a parent, and even as adults, we have to learn to say no sometimes, right, parents? You got to learn to say, "No, you cannot shave your sister's hair. You can't shave her head. No, you cannot put the cat underwater. It will not go there. No, you can't wear that to school. It's pajama pants and a tank top." All this other kind of stuff. You can't tell, you got to tell them no. It isn't like, it isn't something that we like to do, or we like to hear in our lives, but it's a word that hangs heavy in the air, and sometimes when we hear it, and we don't know what to do with the weight of it. Right now, my kids, or Shelby especially, I'm going to tell on her, actually DJ does it too, we'll joke around at the house. Mama will say, "DJ, go do this." "No!" And all of a sudden, me and Mama look over, he goes, "I'm just joking, I'm just playing." But that's something that really would not have worked with my parents, right? Anybody in here witness with that? The negative connotation of that word or that answer lands abruptly on the mind and on the soul at times, and we feel the weight that it bears, and it feels uncomfortable. What's even more painful and awkward is when we pray and pray and pray and pray, and we hear the word no come back. Anybody ever been there? That word no, we pray about a situation, or we pray and we either hear nothing or God sends a no back to us. An experience like none of us likes. We want to say, now wait a minute. When we pray, we want to say, wait a minute now, God. You said that if I pray in your name, if I pray together with other people, I could have what I want. You said you would answer those prayers. And we start throwing out these verses like Matthew 21, 22, where it says, you can pray for anything, and if you have faith, you will receive it. We're quick as Christians to throw those verses out there, right? You can pray for anything, and if you pray for, and if you have faith, you will receive it. We talk about Mark 11, 24, where it says, I tell you, you can pray for anything, and if you believe that you've received it, it will be yours. But can I share something with you? And this is why I was saying, this is a challenging word today. This is one of those words that's going to slap you in the face and go, are you going to still love me? And I'm hoping I still got a job after today, okay? But I'm going to share something with you. God is allowed to say no. God is allowed to tell us no about some things. We as parents don't like saying no, but it's necessary at sometimes. I remember when I was a teenager, I wanted to buy a gas remote control car. I'm talking about it was a lot of money. It was $500-$600. Those things can get it. That was cheap compared to what they really, really were back then, okay? That was cheap. I love remote control cars, and I wanted to buy one. I had money of my own. I had it saved up. I had a job. I had all that stuff, and my parents looked at me, and they went in, and they looked at my mom especially. She went in, and she looked into the store with me, and she saw that remote control car. Then she saw the price tag, and she grabbed my hand and said, nope, and walked right back out. But Mom, it's my money. It doesn't matter. You don't need it, and I'm trying to teach you a lesson. No. You got to learn how to manage your money, son. You got to learn how to handle things. You don't need to spend $500 on that remote control car. You don't need to spend money on magazines every single time you go to the grocery store. You don't need that ice cream that you like so much this time. We don't need this. We don't need that. And there were times that we had to say no. I had that car all picked out. I was so broken and dejected and hurt that my parents didn't love me and didn't care about me and didn't want me to be happy. I walked around and moped and kicked dirt and kicked the cat, kicked the dog, kicked the cat again because I don't like cats. And then I just went on with my life, and I just talked about how my parents just don't understand me. Yes, I'm exaggerating a little bit, but I was upset. The reason they said no was not because they hated me or because they didn't want to see me happy. They wanted to teach me, and they wanted to guide me in the way that I was supposed to go. They were trying to teach me a lesson. Paul was pleading with God in his situation in our text. Three times he said, God, please take it away from me. Take it away. It hurts. I hate dealing with it. He was dealing with a thorn in his flesh, or a messenger from Satan that was causing him trouble and pain. There's a lot of speculation about what that thorn was. Was it a person? Could have been. Was it a certain sin? Was it an ailment? What is it? What was it? Was it his eyes? There are some speculations that it was his eyes, because his eyes were becoming to grow dim. There were some that said it was a physical ailment. There were some that said that it was a spirit that he struggled with, possibly pride or a specific sin. But he asked three times. Everybody say three. Three times to take it away. Like a child, he went back over and over and over again. It's sort of like that child that comes up and they want that bowl of cereal, but you know that supper's coming, and that they don't need that cereal, so they keep coming. Mama, 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 and they ask over and 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 over until finally you go, fine, here's some cereal. But the thing is, God's not that way. There are times where God tells us to come to him over and over and over. But he's sovereign. And he's got a plan. And he's got a design to life. And sometimes that no needs to stay no. No, you don't need that promotion at work. No, you don't need to change jobs. No, you definitely don't need to date that person. Even though they are the hottest and prettiest person that you've ever seen, you don't need to date that person. No, I'm not going to heal you in this middle of this disease or the middle of this circumstance, because I've got bigger and better plans for you. I know it's painful. I know it's hurting, but I'm going to heal. I'm going to take care of it a different way. He asked God three times like a child. Each time God came back with the same answer. No. I can only imagine the things that ran through his mind. God, you don't love me. You don't love me because you're not taking care of me the way that I think you should. God, you don't care that I'm in pain right now. You don't care that I'm struggling. I'm sure these thoughts, he was human. Everybody would agree that Paul was human, right? Paul was human, so I'm sure these thoughts went through his mind. I'm sure he said, do you just want me to struggle through life? Are you just wanting to punish me? Is there something that I've done wrong? The weight of God's no began to press down on his spirit. What questions and thoughts run through your mind today? What questions and thoughts run through your mind when God seems to not come through for you in your time of need? Do you question God and say, are you really paying attention to who I am? Do you really care that I'm hurting? Are you paying attention to me, God? Some of us, we look and we say, I thought I was your child. I thought you cared for me. Or some of us, we throw his word back in his face and we go, but God, your Bible says this. And we take a scripture and we throw it at God, acting like God doesn't know what he wrote. God knows exactly what he wrote. Y'all awful quiet today. I know this is a tough word, but y'all hang with me because there's purpose behind it. We have to take scripture. When we throw that scripture back at God, we have to take that scripture in context to what it's surrounded with. We have to take it not just on, you can take any verse and yank it out of the Bible, out of context, and make it mean what you want it to mean. But you've got to take the entirety of the Bible, entirety of Scripture, and put it together, and put it together and show what it really means. I can pray all day long, but if I don't pray the will of God, it doesn't matter. I can stand here all day long and I can have Brother Steve come up, lay hands on me and pray for me and say, God, I'm believing that you're going to provide me with $1 million this week and that you're going to take care of my family. I believe that I have enough faith to know that you can do this, and I believe that $1 million is going to go into my account come Friday morning. Friday morning, it's going to hit my account, God. And we can pray together. And if we take a scripture out of context in the Bible, two of us agreed together. We ask for it in Jesus' name. It shall be done for us. But we don't take into account where it says in the scripture that we have to pray God's will. Are you with me? 1 John 5:14-15 says this in the NIV. It says, this is the confidence that I have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will. Well, how do I know the will of God? Do you talk to him on a regular basis? Do you know his voice? Do you know what he's asked of you? If I ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we have asked for, what we ask of him. The key is not just asking of God, but it's asking according to God's will. That's why we need to live true according to Ephesians 5:18, where it says, pray in the Spirit at all times. When we pray in the flesh, we pray for $1 million. When we pray in the Spirit, we pray for more money to go out to missions. When we pray in the Spirit, we pray God's will over our life. When we pray in the Spirit, we pray his voice speaking into us. When we pray in the Spirit, it's not my will, but thy will be done. Are you with me? This is a deep teaching, but I know that you guys can get it. I know that you can. God is allowed to tell us no. But there's always a purpose in God's no. Somebody say purpose. There's always a purpose in God's no. Most of the time, we as parents don't tell our kids no for no reason. There's a reason why we're telling them no. No, you cannot go play in that mud puddle because we're getting ready to go out. And we want to give them that disclaimer afterwards. We want to tell them the reason why. I remember a story of a pastor friend of mine named Mark who his dad was cooking. I think I've told this story before, but bear with me. He was cooking, and he was cooking some eggs or something in a skillet on the stove. And he was going. And Mark came in, and Mark was watching him cook, and he saw this eye that was still hot from where he had been cooking. And he saw it, and he looked at his dad, looked at that eye, looked at his dad. And y'all know when a kid is looking like that, there's something up. There's some wheels turning. And he looked at his dad and looked down at that eye and he started reaching up. And he was going to put his hand on that eye. And he looked up at his daddy. And his dad looked down and Witt said, "No, son." And he pulled his hand back. He looked at the eye again, looked at his dad, looked at the eye, stuck his hand up there again. "No, son." He didn't explain anything. He didn't tell him that it's hot. He didn't tell him anything. He said, "No." That third time, Mark looked up at his dad, looked at that eye, went up again. Finally, Brother Witt just looked at him and said, "All right, go ahead." And Mark went up, just barely touched his hand to that eye. It scorched him, didn't hurt him bad. Okay, so don't think Brother Witt was a bad dad. He made sure he wasn't going to get hurt. And then he looked at him and he said, "Son, when I tell you no, there's always a reason. It's to keep you safe, and it's to keep you whole. Is to keep you in my will, and it's to keep you where you're not hurt." There is a purpose to God's no. Are you with me? There is a purpose to God's no. There will always be purpose behind it, that word no. A child's favorite question. Everybody knows what the child's favorite question is, right? Why? "We can't go do that, son." Why? We're not going to do that. Why? 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 They ask why so many times. You know what the parents' favorite answer is? Because. My parents, they always look, they didn't explain nothing. They wouldn't say, "Because, son, we want to make sure that this and that and the other, we got to do this and we got to do that and all that." My parents just look at me and say, "No." And I go, "Why? Because." And the favorite thing right behind that, "Because I said so." There's sometimes where God has to tell us no and then just say, "Because I said so." God is never telling us no because he wants to, just because he wants to. He doesn't always tell us the reason why he says no, but it's there. And that's the thing. We can't expect God to give us a reason every time. God doesn't owe us an explanation for his no. This is hard to hear. Because we want God to explain things. We want to know the reason why somebody is sick. We want to know the reason why someone is hurting. We want to know the reason why we're struggling in this area of our life. We want to know the reason why we're having to go through this divorce. We want to know the reason why we're having to go through this situation at work and deal with a boss that is on us all the time. We want to know the reasons of everything that we deal with, but sometimes we don't get that reason. God never has to give us a reason. Paul asked God, "Listen, I have a thorn in my side." He realized he had a thorn in his side and that it was there. And then he said, "I was given a thorn in my side, a messenger from Satan to torment me and keep me from being proud." He knew the reason, but he still wanted to get rid of it. Listen, you may know the reason why you're struggling. You may know the reason why you're dealing with something in your life, but God still doesn't take it away. Why? Because he realized, or Paul realized, it was to remind him not to get the big head. Y'all know what I mean when I say big head? It was to remind him, "Hey, don't think that all that you're doing is all you. It's me up here. I'm the one that's giving you the power. I'm the one that speaks through you." He realized all this. There's something to say. It's like he was looking at him going, it ain't about you. Whatever God tells you no about, it's not just about you. When God says no, there's a reason behind it. Sometimes it's to humble us the way he did Paul. To make sure that we don't think that it's by our own strength that we do anything. Sometimes we need a reminder that it isn't because of how great we are that he uses us. Come on, somebody. He needs to remind us sometimes we're still a fallen creation. And we make mistakes. But he uses us in spite of those mistakes. Are you with me? Sometimes we need that reminder that it isn't our words that changes the hearts and the lives of people, but it's the lifting up of Jesus Christ. We need a reminder that it says, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. It doesn't say, if I get out there and do my best and I do what God has called me to do, then he'll bless me because of I was obedient to him. He lets us know that just like he told Zerubbabel back in the Old Testament, that it isn't by man's might that we do anything. It isn't by our own power that we change lives. It's only by the Spirit of God that lives in us and moves in us and chooses to use us for his glory. That is the reason why we're here. That's the reason why God uses us. It's because it's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit. Not because of you, not because of me. The reason why I stand on this stage is not so that everybody can say, man, what a great preacher he is. What a great man of God he is. Because I know I'm not the best preacher in the world. There's so many people out there that can preach so much better than me. And I pray that God uses them. But God has got me here for such a time as this. And I'm going to preach the Word of God the way that I can. Stumbling and bumbling and falling off the stage and whatever it takes. If it calls me to color my hair or get a pie put in my face or whatever, I'm going to do whatever God calls me to do. But there's going to be certain things that God reminds me of that says, hey, don't think it's because of you that I'm doing things in this place. We're seeing guests come into our house today. We're seeing people that have been coming down to the altars getting saved. Last year, we saw 35 people give their hearts to Christ down here at these altars. That is a testimony not to the power of God in me, not to the power of God in you, not to the power of God in our music or anything else, but it's the power of God that is unto salvation through the power of Jesus Christ who died on a cross for every single sinner that come down to these altars. It's not about us. And sometimes we need that reminder. I'm convinced that's why certain people are involved in my life. They keep me grounded in who the real miracle worker is. It's not me, it's him. Sometimes God tells us no to teach us. How many of you need to be taught from time to time? God tells us no to teach us. We ask God to save us from a trial or a struggle that we're facing, and we continue in that struggle. We continue living in pain. We continue to struggle with our situation that we've been put in, either by God's hand, or sometimes we put ourselves in that situation through our own stupidity at times. Amen. Come on, somebody. We put ourselves in that situation and we say, God, help me. And God says, no, you got yourself in it, but I'm going to stay with you and I'm going to see you through it. But you've got to deal with it. There are times where God teaches us a lesson through the no. In our minds, we think, God, if you'll just get me out, we start bartering with God. Anybody ever done that? If you'll just get me through this, I will never ever. We're sitting, listen, I know buddies of mine that would sit there. They would sit there, hug the porcelain God, as you would say. And they would say, God, if you'll just see me through this, I'll never take a drink again. I'll never do. And God's going, I'll get you through it, but I'm not going to immediately make you sober. I'm going to make you deal with this. Why? So I can teach you a lesson. So I can teach you a situation about this situation. We think, God, if you'll just get me out of this, if you'll get me out of this lie that I told, if you get me out of this situation I've gotten myself into, if you'll get me out of this problem, if you'll just take this hurt away from me, you'll take this bitterness away from me, then God, I will serve you. I will serve you the rest of my life. And God says, yes, I know you will. But I'm trying to teach you something through this hardship. Job didn't do anything to deserve what he went through. Yet God let him go through it. He prayed and he prayed. We don't know how long it was. It had to be a long amount of time. It had to be months. But he prayed and he prayed and he prayed. And God never took away the boils. God never took away the pains that he was having. God didn't restore his children immediately. God didn't take care of his family immediately. God didn't restore his finances immediately. But he kept praying, he kept praying, and God used him. Maybe God is teaching not only you, but he's teaching other people through your situation. Come on. My cousin Tommy right now is sitting in a wheelchair, has been in a wheelchair his entire life. And the reason why he's there, I don't know, because we prayed for him time and time and time again. We even saw him stand up. He's got spina bifida. We saw him stand up in the middle of a service and take a step. But God has not healed him completely physically yet. Why? I don't know. But I can tell you this. It's because of Tommy's life that I'm standing on this stage, because I watched him struggle with this. I watched him be in pain his entire life. I watched him wonder when God was going to do it and wonder what God was going to do. But at the same time, never did he once falter from going to the altar. Never once did he tell God that he was wrong for putting him in a wheelchair. Never once did he sit there and point a finger at God and say, you said you would heal me. You said you would touch my body. Never once did he do that. You know what he did? He sat in that wheelchair and he slung his arms during worship as hard as he could. And he would praise God so much that wheelchair would start about right here and it would end up about right here, because he would forget to lock the wheels. I wrote a paper about him one day when I was in a discipleship class, because the pain he was going through was teaching me a lesson. There are sometimes we go through things so that we can teach others. Are you with me? When God says no, listen. He's teaching us. In the middle of the no, it's in the middle of the no that the fruit of the Spirit is revealed. It's in the middle of your no that you grow. It's in the middle of the no that you learn. We learn to love even though it hurts. We learn to have joy in the midst of sorrow. We learn to have peace while chaos is surrounding us. We learn to be patient and wait on God's yes. There are many other reasons why God could say no, but it could be to protect us. It could be to reveal his glory. It could be to prepare us for the way he did Joseph. Joseph, I imagine, when he was thrown into the pit, I imagine he prayed, God, you got to get me out of this. I imagine when he was sold into slavery, God, you've got to get me out of this. When he was accused of raping, of trying to rape his master's wife, he was thrown in jail. I'm sure he's sitting there going, God, what is going on? You've got to take care of me. Why am I going through this? I'm sure he was praying for deliverance in every single one of these situations. But in every single stop, God was preparing him for the palace. From the pit to the palace, he couldn't get there until he went through the situations he was in. He had to learn. In order to lighten the load of God's no, instead of asking why not, why are you not doing this, why are you not doing this, why not ask God, what are you trying to teach me through this? And lastly, God's allowed to say no. There's a purpose in God's no. And the ultimate purpose in God's no is that there is always a hidden yes to God's no. There is always a hidden yes. In my studies, I came across an article that said it like this. It's from newspring.cc. It said, it is hard to accept no for an answer and easy to believe that God's decline is a sign of his rejection. But God never says no to mock or to maim us. His no is to make room for a better yes for our lives. After all, if God hadn't told Jesus no, we would have never had the opportunity of salvation. You know you're in good company, right? How many of you God has ever told you no? Just raise your hand for me real quick. Every one of us is in good company. He told David no when David prayed over his son that was sick. And his son passed. He told Paul no when it came to the thorn in his flesh. He told others no. Even Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. You can start music whenever you get ready, Zach. Even Jesus when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. Prayed, God, if this cup can pass from me, then let it pass, because my flesh does not want to do this. But not my will. Yours be done. God had to look at his own son and say, no, you're going to go through it. I'm sorry, son. But there's a purpose to my no. There's a better yes on the other side of the cross. In every case when God says no, there's a yes hiding in the wings. We plead and we cry for God to say yes, but we don't realize the pain he has mapped out or the plan he has mapped out, and that there is something better down the road. Like on a family vacation. Do y'all still take family vacations? You get on a family vacation, especially younger kids. They're like, oh, daddy, can we stop there to eat? Can we stop there? Imagine going on a family vacation, and every time you pass something really cool that the kids like, the kids are going, man, dad, I would love to go to that place. I'd love to go to that place. And he's like, I understand some, but we're not going to stop there. See, you've got a destination in your mind that is better than what you're passing. Imagine you pass by this little carnival on the side of the road when you're going on vacation or when you're going down the road, and your kids are like, oh, daddy, can we go to the carnival? Can we go? Daddy, please take us to the carnival. We want to go to the carnival. Can you please take us? We would have so much fun. We promise we'll never ask for anything ever again. Yeah, right. And you're like, no. I've got a better place for us to go. You pass by the aquatic center where you see all these kids playing in the pool. Daddy, can we please go to the pool? Please let us go to the pool, Daddy. It would be so much fun. We've even got our swim trunks, right? You had us pack swimming trunks. Why are we? We're going to the pool, right? Can't we go to the pool? No, I've got someplace better. And you pass by all these great things. And by the time the kids get to the, I'm never going to ask again. But then you pull up to where your destination is, and all of a sudden they realize, hey, we're at Disney World. You had a better destination in mind. Listen, you may be screaming for a yes for a side trip, but God's got the destination ahead planned. And it's much better than what you're passing on the side of the road. Are you with me? I know that's not in the Bible, but it's just, it fits. Does it make sense to you? Listen. God's yes is always better. When God says no, he's actually saying yes to what is better. Yes to a better way and a brighter future. Yes to a stronger and a more meaningful relationship with him. Yes to a plan and a destiny that we as his children cannot even imagine. Isaiah 55:9, everybody in here could probably just about quote it, where it says, for just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. I've got things planned that you've got no idea about. I've got things mapped out that I've got a design that you have no idea where I'm taking you, and you can't even see how great it is, but I need you to trust me that the present pain you're in is not going to be, it's going to be worth the future that I have planned. Trust me. to lighten the heavy weight of God's no, remember this. Yes is not a blessing or an approval of who you are. And no is not a punishment or disapproval of you. We think God punishes us with no. He's not punishing you with no. It's not a disapproval of what you're going, who you are. Don't let the weight of no fracture your faith in God. Don't let that weight make you think that He doesn't care. God is allowed to say no to His children. He doesn't do it out of spite, hate, or indifference. He hears every prayer you're praying, and He knows every hardship. He knows what you're going through. Stand with me today. God is allowed to say no to His children, but He also knows what is best. He isn't rolling the dice and making decisions based on what comes up. He is guiding us and teaching us and preparing us. And when you feel that you can't take the weight any longer, remember that what God told Paul back in our text when he thought he couldn't stand anymore. Paul said, three times, God. Three times I've come to you and said, take it away. I can't stand the pain anymore. I can't stand the nuisance anymore. I can't stand the situation anymore. And God looked down at him in verse 9 and said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. This is not in my notes, but I want you to notice God didn't say one word about Paul in that. It was about him. It was about his grace. Not about Paul's perseverance. It was about showing himself to be strong. Not about showing Paul how weak he was. The reason God says no is so that we can rely on him. God knows the pain you're in. He knows the pain you endure and the struggles you deal with. Please understand, when God says no to removing us from the fire, He's revealing who He really is. He is strong enough to see you through that flame. He trusts us enough to call on His name when we're in need. And when we get out of the way and when our weakness is exposed is when His strength is revealed. His no is always merciful. One final verse, Romans 8:31. What shall I say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can ever be against us? When God says no, He's not coming against you. He is more for you than you can ever imagine. Trust Him. And I know some of you may be in dark times right now where you're going, but I've prayed for this disease to be gone for years and it's still there. I can't explain it. All I know is but God. His grace. See, grace, I'm just talking now. I don't want my message. I'm just talking to you. They say grace is getting what you don't deserve. Mercy is not getting what you do deserve. We don't deserve God's grace, but He gives it anyway. And He gives it to us more abundantly than we ever need. Because His grace is sufficient. He never leaves us lacking. He never leaves us in a hole. We might have to struggle a little bit. But in the end, He always comes through. Amen. Lord Jesus, today I thank you for every person in this room. God, I know this was a different type of message and a different kind of word, but I also know that this was an on-time word. Those right now, Lord, that are struggling with the no in their life, they keep asking the question of, God, when is this going to happen? When am I going to meet that right person? When am I going to find that right job? When am I going to be past this situation in my life? When am I going to let go of this sin? When am I going to see this happen? God, those that are dealing with no's right now, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you would speak life into them and remind them that you are teaching them, you are protecting them, you are preparing them, and that, God, you are keeping them in the palm of your hand for a reason. There's purpose to the no. The reason you say no now is because you know in the future there's a yes that's so much better. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're in this room today and this is a word that sort of struck home with you, and you've been asking questions and you've been asking God for certain things in your life, and you keep hearing no, and you keep hearing no, and you keep hearing no, God would say to you, I'm saying no, but trust me. Just as a sign that you say, God, I trust you, I want you to quickly, if that's you and God has been telling you no, and that you've been bringing those questions up, and you want to say, God, I trust you today, as a quick sign, I just want you to put your hand up and say, God, I trust you. In Jesus' name, thank you, thank you. Anybody else? Thank you, thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Anybody else? Anybody else? Thank you. Anybody else? Hallelujah, Jesus. And it would be wrong of me if I did not do this. I never want to leave this place without this opportunity. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're in this room today and you do not know Jesus Christ, your personal Lord and Savior, you need to just say, God, I trust you with my life. And you want to give your life to Jesus today and ask him to come in and forgive you of your sins. And I want to give you that opportunity right now. I want you to, with every head bowed and eye closed, if you're here and you want that, if you want to say that to Jesus today, just raise your hand real briefly and put it right back down. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father God, right now I pray over this entire congregation. There was probably 10 or 15 people, Lord, that are dealing with no's. God, reassure them that your no has a better yes on the other side. God, in the name of Jesus, speak life into that situation. This is not one of those, God, that we want to scream and holler about, but Lord, we want to say we trust you today. Right now, I want you to say that out loud. Lord, I trust you. Lord, I trust you with my life, and I trust your no's. I trust that you have a better yes in my future. And I give my life to you. Do with it as you will, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.
Thank you so much for joining us today, and we pray that you were blessed by the ministry of this podcast. Now, if you have any questions or comments, you can contact me personally at Pastor Aaron Argo at iCloud.com. And make sure to hit the subscribe button so that you'll know when we put out a new podcast and you can join us again. And as always, please remember, you belong here.